And let's talk about, for a few minutes, something that I have dubbed verbal plenary Christianity. And let me explain the premise. I find when I look into the scriptures that according to what the scriptures say, every word of God is pure. Every word of God is pure. Also find that it is true that we are to live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. I also find that in Paul's letter to Timothy concerning the scriptures, that every word of God, by implication, is profitable. And so when we talk about verbal plenary Christianity, it centers upon one's viewpoint of the scripture. When we apply that term, a textbook theological term, to the subject, it means that every word in the Bible you have in your hand is breathed out by God. Every word, no exception. And it is from cover to cover, from the first word in Genesis to the last word in the book of Revelation, it is God's holy word. Verbal, plenary inspiration. Now, what I want you to see is in Proverbs 30, verse 5. To begin with, every word of God is pure. The scriptures at the fifth verse give a definition and a prohibition. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Then verse 6 says, add not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. Now, whenever when we look at this in its context, we're looking at certainly the statement about God's word, but we're also talking about the king's words in this particular context. But just note for the moment that every word of God is pure. And by that, I mean to say and reiterate what scripture says, that in the book of Psalms, there are two key places that deal with the subject. Psalm 12 is one that speaks to the purifying nature of the purified nature of the Word of God. And then the one grand chapter, one grand place in all of the Bible, the 119th Psalm, that from the beginning to the end is just layered over with statements about the Scripture. Whenever we think about the Word of God being pure, we would want to be able to qualify that by saying what the Scripture says, that not only is it pure, but it is very pure. It is refined. It is absent any dross. Okay, now keep that in mind. Verbal plenary Christianity takes into consideration this element of God's Word. Then consider that every word of God is profitable. Look at 2 Timothy, please, chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and the 16th verse. We read there, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. But it is profitable in the sense that it is helpful. It is to the advantage, to the reader's advantage, to be familiar with it and to be exposed to it. For example, in the 16th verse, it says here that all scripture is given by inspiration and is profitable for doctrine. There's the instruction. Then we think about the reproof. There's the indictment. The indictment. When a person reads the scripture, the Holy Spirit indwelling works in such a nature is that whenever our eyes fall upon a portion of the Word of God at a providentially appointed time in our lives, the Spirit of God will speak through the Word. And if there is a correction that needs to be made in your life, it's brought to bear. If there's sin in your life that is unearthed, maybe it's something that has gone by the board and totally forgotten by you. And as you read the Scripture, the Spirit of God brings it to the light. In that sense, it's helpful to be exposed to God's Word. It is a terrible thing for a Christian to be out of fellowship with God's Word, even if he's out of fellowship in ignorance. Some people sin and they're not aware that they sin, but it offends God and ruins the fellowship. But when the person is exposed to the Scripture, the correction is made. There's the intervention there implied in that statement, correction, intervention. And so you have the essential nature of the help in this sense. Paul told the Roman Christians in his letter, chapter 15, verse 4, that the things that were written before were written for our benefit. Can I just paraphrase that? For our help. And the point of that is that we might have hope. And so when I say that every word, without exception, is profitable, it is precisely that. Now, every word, thirdly, proceeds out of the mouth of God. Go back into the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 8. Deuteronomy, chapter 8. Deuteronomy, chapter 8, and the third verse. When you look at this third verse, which reads, in Moses' commentary here, he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Verbal, plenary Christianity takes all this into consideration in determining how to live. When you get into the New Testament, at Matthew 4 and Luke 4, Matthew 4, verse 4, Luke 4, verse 4, there is one of the favorite phrases that we have where it says, it is written. Luke, those things all point back to this reference in Deuteronomy, which has its context, its historical context, in the passage that we looked on at Sunday morning out of Exodus 16. And when he says there that he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, that ye might know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word, which means the point of Exodus 16 and reinforced by Deuteronomy 8 was this, that the Israelites were to learn the lesson that they could take God at his word. Whether it made any sense or not, they could trust him to do as he said. And so every word proceeds out of the mouth of God. Whenever we speak about the proceeding, I think that there's a very close correlation to what we read in 2 Timothy 3:16 using the word inspired. The word inspired in the Greek language is the word theopneustos, and it means to God breathed or breathed out by God. Every word is breathed out by God. Now, just as an inferior example, but in our going through all of the remaining boxes and packages of stuff at my mother-in-law's house, we come across from time to time an old box that probably hasn't been opened in 60 years that has letters. I almost feel like they're sacrosanct. I don't even want to open the envelopes because the one was addressed to Ma from Pa. And, you know, I'm a little bit squeamish about opening that stuff up, but I'll let the girls take care of that. But it's interesting to me that whenever we happen across something that is dated and goes way back, you hold that thing in hand and you say, wow, this might be worth keeping. This might be worth having just for the record. My wife found a little scrap piece of paper in a little ugly looking dish. What kind of dish was that thing? Was this pottery of some kind? From 18...
Candy or something like that.
1889.
Your great.
And there's a little note in it from Grandma Gibson. Now, I never knew that tribe. Okay, that was way, way long time ago. But there you have that little scrap of paper in this little antique. Now, I thought to myself, wow, that could be worth thousands of dollars, you know, quite possibly. And it's and all the more authentic because there's a note in there. You know, a handwritten note. So whenever we think about the scriptures and they're being breathed out by God, orchestrated by the Holy Spirit, working in mere men to oversee what they wrote, to make sure that everything that was penned was exactly what God wanted, the Christian, it would seem to me, would take all that into consideration, and if any point is to be made, it seizes upon the emphasis that I asked you to give prayerful consideration to a couple of weeks ago, is that in every home in our church family, every individual, that they might take their copy of this scripture and systematically read this book every single day. My suggestion was try to read it through at least one time this whole year. You can accomplish that relatively simply. Is that right? Relatively simply? Relatively simple. I'll just stick to that. And you could, you know, 6 chapters a day, 3 chapters, whatever it is, but try to read this thing every day. It's God's word. It proceeds out of his mouth. Inspiration, verbal plenary Christianity, simply put, does this. It lives by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And if the Bible is not held to be verbally and plenarily inspired, then obviously the determination in the part of the Christian will be accordingly. If it's really not all that, then it's really not all that. I recommend to you to take God at his word. And what he said it is, it is. Every word of God is pure. Every word of God is profitable, because every word proceeds out of the mouth of God. Every word. Dare we waste a day without looking at what he said to us? I mean, God is a rebel. God is a communicator. The Bible is just a time and space representation of what he has continued to do from the very beginning. Communicate his wishes, his will to the creature. Would you pray with me? Our dear Heavenly Father, I pray tonight that we might become more now than ever enamored with your word. God, grant to us great appetite for the word. Help us, Lord, not to be simply satisfied with a little dink and a dunk there, but rather, Lord, help us to be able to spend the time, to make the time, to read the scripture, and to think about what we read, and to ask, dear Heavenly Father, that you might, upon every occasion, speak to us. After all, Lord, we are your servants. Help us, Lord, to live by your word, for Jesus' sake. Amen.